So a shoe should protect you from hot and cold and then sharp things. Otherwise, the shoe should allow you to feel that there's a rock there, that there's a tree root, that there's the pavement is going this way, then this way. Then your body relies upon your feet feeling that. There are 20,000 nerve endings in the sole of our feet, which is, I think, something like a sixth of the whole body's nerve endings.
Wow.
It's telling our whole body where we are in space. When we cut it off, like when we put a big cushion there, put a blindfold on to protect your eyes from the sun, it's overkill.
Hey guys, my name is Shayla. Welcome to the Hey Shayla podcast. I went from full-time travel to full-time new COVID mom, and holy wow, is motherhood and adulting a learning curve? There are so many decisions we need to make and a million ways to do it right. I created this podcast to interview some of my gurus to share their knowledge and empower you on your journey. Let me be your guinea pig and ask the questions that you think everyone else knows. Here, we're a little hippie. We try to do things as naturally as possible, and we don't take ourselves too seriously. But above all, we support one another and work to find what works. If you're into it, you're our people. Let's get started. All right, welcome back to the Hey Shayla podcast. Today I have Andy, and you are a natural podiatrist.
Yeah.
He practices in a way that helps people reclaim their natural foot function rather than relying upon manual treatment, orthotics, or supportive shoes. He has a very informative Instagram, AndyBryant_podiatrist. Now, if you don't know, if you're a listener and you don't know, a podiatrist, because I had to Google this, is someone who specializes in treating conditions related to the foot, ankle, and lower leg. So today, you and I are going to talk about kids' feet, because that seems relevant to you and to me. And we can talk about how to get it started from the beginning and why it's important and exactly what to do. Does that sound good?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm passionate about. So that's
amazing. Yeah. Thank you so much for being on this podcast. I'm really excited to talk to you about this. Usually I like to start with you. So how did you get into this work? Why is this your passion? Tell us a little bit about your background.
Yeah. So I've been a podiatrist for 23 years. Here in Australia, we're more like a PT rather than whereas I think in the States, a podiatrist doctors first and then do more surgical-based stuff. Whereas here you have to do extra training to before you become a surgeon. There's not so many of them. More of that's orthopedic surgeons that do the foot surgery. But anyway, so we're more like looking after, like your routine podiatrist is someone looking after toenails and calluses and corns, and then some biomechanics spat in, like some heel pain, or looking after some people that are running and they've got an injury, you know, a foot injury. So they're more looking at that. And the main method of treatment has been to use orthotics and supportive shoes. And I did that myself. That's how we're trained. And then I was doing a lot of cycling, and I had a series of accidents in races and things, and had some head injuries, which kind of makes me laugh a little bit, because maybe that's why I think a bit differently, because I've had head injuries. Yeah. I couldn't ride anymore. And I'd been really type A exerciser, like just go, go, go. But I'd noticed that waning, and then these injuries happened. And then I found yoga, and I was just going to yoga classes, like obsessed by yoga. So type A yoga. But anyway. I chilled that out as well, but it's kind of yoga's affected me, and my feet started getting stronger, and I was also going to the gym for the first time in my life, and I noticed people training barefoot. I'm like, there's got to be more to this. I was trying to get back into running, and I was getting injured again, and so I was looking into a different running technique, and so it just all kind of fed into me discovering for myself that we could strengthen feet. And at uni we're kind of told that there's not much point trying, like we should just support them. And it's crazy, like they're full of muscles and we should be able to make them stronger. And so I just applied it to myself, and then I started applying it to my clients, which is a big deal, because I have clients come back and they've been in my orthotic for 10 years. And I have to say to them, maybe you don't need this, and this is what we're going to do about it. Oh, and wow. And some are like, no, I'm happy with it. And then I'm like, well, I'm probably not the podiatrist for you. And then most are like, well, I understand that. That makes total sense. I trust you. Let's do this. So it's been quite a big change.
Yeah.
And because of that, I now practice on my own, because there's not many podiatrists that really want to align with this. And that's been transformative as well. So, yeah, that's kind of my history. And I've realized that children's feet, like when we first start putting a child in a shoe, I don't know what it's like there in the States, but here the maternal child healthcare nurse, this is someone you go and see every month or two to check that the baby's weighing okay.
We don't do that.
Wow. Doing those milestone things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And when the baby starts walking, they'll say, let's put you in a shoe, a wide, thin, flat, flexible shoe. Because the baby in a wide, thin, flat, flexible shoe, something that's thin so that they can feel the ground so their foot can develop. So the main reason is so that the foot can develop and strengthen and have an effect on their whole body. Hmm. And so that's what the advice is for a new walker. And across the board here in Australia, podiatrists, physios, health nurses, pediatricians, they'll all say that for a new walker. When they come to 2.5, 3 years of age, they're straight into their little Nikes, Asics, Brooks, the cute shoes, you know.
Yeah.
And they've straight away got a heel, cushioning. Like the foot is definitely not developed by them. The foot never, ever stops developing like the rest of our body, you know. Mm. Like if you want to get a bigger bicep, you could do bicep curls for the next 3 weeks and get a bigger bicep. You know, the foot can develop. And so my passion is that we should never change what that original advice is, because then the foot would just keep developing and not need support, you know.
Yeah.
That's like a nutshell of what I'm passionate about.
Yeah.
But I don't see a lot of kids, because most kids don't have foot problems.
Right.
Because foot problems come about when you support the foot for years and years, I think.
Interesting. Well, and I've never been given advice about shoe support from a doctor.
Yeah.
Like with my kids.
Yeah, okay.
So that's really interesting that's like a standard, and maybe I just haven't. And everyone's like, wow, Shayla, what doctor are you going to?
What do you do with your kids? Like, who do you check that your kids are developing okay with, or it's just free for all, which I'm all for?
The pediatrician.
So our pediatricians will just look at something going wrong. Like the health nurse will be just screening everyone. If there's an issue, they'll say, maybe go see your general doctor. And then if it's a bigger issue, they'll say, go see your pediatrician. They're like third rung. So there's like little clinics in every community where there's a maternal child healthcare nurse, and they're generally a nurse that's specialised in children. And like one of my best friends is one, and she and they're given advice like, it's, oh, your child's walking. If you're going to put him in shoes, make sure they're this wide, thin, flat, flexible shoe. That's like a given type of thing, yeah.
And how often do you go?
You go like begin with every week, I think, and then maybe every month once they're like 3 months old, and then maybe every 3 months once they're 12 months old or something like that. Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. It's like, I think it's like 2 weeks, 2 months, 4 months, 6 months.
Okay.
So it's similar-ish, but not it. Oh, yeah. You pay.
Yeah. So this is a free service for anyone in the community.
In Australia.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I bet that the postpartum care for mom is something too.
Yeah, yeah, for the mom as well. Yeah, so they're definitely checking on the mom, mom's mental health, mom's physical health, probably not as much as it is about the baby, but they are checking in on that and then referring out as required. Like they're not going to be like, oh, let's counsel you, but they're making sure they're coping and things like that, putting them into mother's groups, you know, things like this. Yeah, it's all feeding off that system.
We have 1 6-week checkup with our OB. So they check, make sure everything's healing fine, and then they say good luck. Literally, that's it. No breastfeeding care unless you like seek it out. Anyway, it's fascinating though to see the differences between places.
Yeah, and you're the most developed country in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not with healthcare probably. Anyway, so let's get back to the roots and be barefoot and not be so developed.
Yeah.
So you're saying keep them in.
Barefoot is ideal, but obviously that's practical. So a shoe should protect you from hot and cold. So obviously if it's freezing outside, you don't want to keep their feet warm. And if it's really hot surface, you don't want to be burning their feet.
Right.
And then sharp things.
Right.
So things that are going to pierce their skin. So otherwise the shoe should allow you to feel that there's a rock there, that there's a tree root, that there's the pavement is going this way, then this way, then this way, then this way, that there's a crack in the pavement.
Yeah.
Your body relies upon your feet feeling that. And there are 20,000 nerve endings in the sole of our feet, and which is, I think, something like a sixth of the whole body's nerve endings.
Wow.
Just in the soles of our feet. It's telling our whole body where we are in space, like as in it's simply with our eyes, ears, that, and our feet are telling us where we are in space. And so when we cut it off, like when we put a big cushion there, affecting, like we're sort of blindfolding our feet. That's a really good analogy.
Yeah.
If you put a blindfold on to protect your eyes from the sun, it's overkill. You should just have something to protect from the, something that's going to do damage.
Ooh, that is a good analogy.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just need suns, or we just need some sunnies for our eyes.
Sunny, not the... That's right, yeah. Yeah.
So then what, I mean, there are barefoot shoes. So yeah. Is that what you would recommend for?
Yeah. So nearly all children's shoes are barefoot shoes. Like Bobucks, there's a brand called Vivo Barefoot, Paper Crane. There's like the multitude of brands. And you can put this in your show notes. There's a website called Anya's Reviews. And she has like shoes for kids, shoes for all different, you know, like for wide feet, for flat, all different feet. Anyway, but they're all a barefoot shoe. But generally toddlers' shoes are a barefoot shoe. That's what I'm saying. But then when we get to like two or three, okay. We put them in their little structured shoes that are pushing. They have a heel as well, which there is no relevance to having a heel. And I'm talking about their little app, their Nikes have.
I know. I wish I had my husband just bought her some shoes and literally I'm like, she's going to roll her ankles in those shoes because there's so much pop. Yeah. And I'm like thinking about her crawling, trying to do a ladder and she's probably wobbling all over the place because she can't control the. Yeah. So,
and it's okay to wobble, but it should be wobble that your foot is controlling.
Stabilizing.
You've got a big cushion under you. It's like standing on a Bosu ball, one of those wobble boards all the time. Like it's just no benefit to it at all. And when we put a heel under it and this is more easily visualized, but I'll try and explain it. When we stand up straight without shoes on, our head is above our ankles, like we stand up straight. As soon as we put a heel on or a shoe on, if the shoe is flat, our head is still above our ankles. When we put a heel on, so I'm talking about the Ivanka Trump heel, or I'm talking about the Nike heel, like whether it's 1, 2, or 5 centimeters, our head is still above our ankles. So that means all the joints in between have had to change their posture to keep our head above our ankles. Otherwise, we'd be tipping forward and falling over because we're actually standing on a heel in that situation. And so there's not a lot of research to say that it makes much difference, and our bodies are highly resilient and highly adaptable. But I like to go back to the way we were designed. Like our foot is designed to be flat and then vary depending on the terrain that it's on, not vary because it's on a heel all the time.
Right.
And so, you know, in 60-year-olds, we see lots of knee injuries, knee surgeries, like knee replacements, hip replacements, ankle surgeries. I think it's got a lot to do with the fact that we're standing on a heel for every step from when we're 2 or 3. I'm not, like, this is just like a totally random thought, but there's got to be a consequence for not being in our natural environment for such a long period of time.
Totally. Well, and so then what do you see as consequences, like knee surgery, but like, cause I was obviously looking at some of your information to try and get more about what you do and your information, like bunions. I don't even know what a bunion is. I just know that old people are like, it looks kind of hobbit feety or.
Well, I've kind of touched on that the shoes should be wide, thin, flat, and flexible. So when we talk about thin, that's what we've just talked about, the fact that it's thin and moving so that our foot can feel the ground. Flat is the heel to toe. Flexible is so the joints move. Like there are 33 joints in the foot, and most shoes are stiff from the base of the toes to the heel. And so that's where most of the joints are. And so if you're stiffening joints, then your foot's not moving. And then, again, joints are giving us feedback into our brain as to where we are in space. If you stop a joint moving, like when you cast your arm, if you've broken your arm, you take the cast off 6 weeks later, your arm is withered. So when we stop a foot moving, the muscles around that foot, and there are a lot of muscles as well within the foot, then they stop moving so much and they're not going to be as strong as they should be. So we've talked about wide, thin, and flat. No, we haven't talked about wide. We've talked about thin, flat, and flexible. So that's the movement. The wide is like possibly the most critical one, and maybe the one that I think is a non-negotiable. So most conventional shoes are widest at the base of the toes. So you can't, people listening to this won't be able to see this, but maybe if you go down from the tip of your toe down to where the toe starts at the foot, that's where most shoes are widest.
Yes.
And if you look at a baby's foot, it's widest at the tips of the toes at the very end.
Huh.
And so our feet are meant to splay with our toes spread out.
Right, more like a triangle instead of a kite.
That's right, exactly. Okay. That's a really good, triangle instead of kite. And so I've got a really good post of this physiotherapist in Finland. Like the barefoot world is quite niche.
Yeah.
But I found a physiotherapist in Finland who's got toddlers, and she's got this video of her child's foot about to land. So she must be videoing it from on top. And okay. The foot is kind of scrunched, like not scrunched, like the toes are packed together. And yeah. As the heel hits the ground, the toes spread out. It's like this reaction that the toes spread out to accept the ground. And then we know that when they land, they spring back and we push off again. Huh. And so our toes are not meant to be squashed. They're meant to move in and out as we're walking, you know.
Right.
And so if you've got a shoe, a conventional shoe that's widest at the base of the toes rather than the tips of the toes, then we end up getting squished toes and our toes aren't moving or doing that very important function.
Yeah.
And culturally, it's just a norm to have a tapered toe, the kite-shaped.
Mm-hmm.
And even podiatrists, like every podiatrist I know, apart from the few other natural podiatrists, wear shoes that are pointing their toes together. And then they'll go on about how your foot has to function well. But I know a foot can't function well if our toes are squished together. Mm-hmm. And so conventional shoes are wide at the base. Barefoot shoes or shoes that are foot friendly, foot function friendly, are wide at the tip. And it looks a bit funny. You know, you put them on and you're like, wow, this is wide. I look like I've got a clown's shoe on.
Right.
And then 3 months later, you're like, hey, everyone else looks really weird because they're walking around in shoes. And you get so used to spreading your feet out that as soon as you put anything else on, you're like, it's actually uncomfortable.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to talk about probiotics. Love bug probiotics specifically. I took these probiotics all through pregnancy, all postpartum, and now I'm giving them to my toddler. During pregnancy, it helps my gut biome. It helps seed the gut biome for my baby. And we know that a healthy gut contributes to a healthy immune system. You can take their prenatal probiotics right along with your prenatal vitamins. And they have a subscription option. So you can just get them delivered to you exactly when you run out. I do not like subscription things, but I love them for my vitamins so that I never have to run out. I have an affiliate code, HeyShayla, for 15% off. I hope you love them. Let's get back to it. Does a foot look different? Like, could you look at a foot and they were like, this foot wears the natural shoes?
Yeah, yeah.
What's the difference?
They're generally muscular, a bit veiny. Like they've got like some bulk about them, you know,
yeah.
Like they're not withered. They've got a good fatty pad on the sole because our plantar surface, the sole, and I've got a post about this as well, like a carpenter's hands, you know, like a tradesman's hands.
Yes.
They're thick and gnarly
because
they're getting texture on them all the time, and our feet should be the same. If you look at a surgeon's hands, they're fine, and more a pianist's hands.
Mm.
They're like sinewy and thin and pasty almost, you know. They're always covered up. And so a foot is similar. A healthy foot is a big, gnarly foot, a foot that's got a good splay and can move, like it can move your toes easily. That's what a healthy foot looks like. And a bunion is when the big toe gets pushed sideways and we get a deformity of the base of the big toe. And there are genetic factors in a bunion. Like often we'll see mothers or father, like children that either their mother or father had it. And there are genetic factors like the shape of the foot and the laxity of the bone, of the joints as well. But if that foot was never in a shoe, we would just have an amazing splayed foot.
Really?
So the environment you put those genetic factors into that trigger the bunion.
You really think that if they had never been put in a shoe, even if it's genetic, they would not have a bunion?
You look at a habitually unshod community. So people that never put shoes on, there are very few bunions. There are very few heel pain. Heel pain is in an epidemic at the moment. Like a lot of people have plantar fasciitis or heel pain. In unshod communities, we don't see this. So there are other factors as well. In unshod communities, they're often got a more natural lifestyle. They're moving more. They're moving in different ways.
Right.
They, you know, there are a whole lot of other factors that may feed into that. But it makes sense. If I put you know those tribes that wear those neck rings?
Yeah.
You know, and if I put a neck ring on every year, my neck would get longer and longer and longer, and my body would take the shape that I put it into. If I, you know, like any part of our body is highly adaptable to the shape that we put it into. If we go back into the 18th century and we're all the women are made to wear corsets, then they end up with really thin waist because they're in corsets from a very young age.
Yeah.
We can even liken it to Eastern cultures binding women's feet for cultural reasons.
Right.
And it's not that dissimilar. Like we're actually squashing our feet into shoes that aren't really fitting into aren't foot shaped. And so we do this, but we do it with, like, we still think like our culture is kind of warped about footwear. We still think it's okay to do that.
Right.
And podiatrists will tell you it's fine. Like they're wearing the same shoe as well. So you go to a podiatry conference and like a mate of mine, he's a physical therapist in Canada. He went to a podiatry conference and he went in barefoot. Everyone's looking at him like, you are crazy. And he's like, no, you're crazy. You're in heel pointy shoes. You know, everyone was in their business shoes.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's so wild.
Yeah. Anyway,
that's so interesting though, because the body will adapt. So at what age though, because it's so hard, right? To be like, oh, we're just going to prevent this thing that is the norm. And I'm going to put my kids in these shoes because I want to prevent what?
Yeah. So that's a really good question. And it doesn't prevent, you're still going to have injuries. Like you still have pain and injuries, just like any normal human does, because you might use your body more than it should be used. Like I ran half a marathon on Sunday through the bush in barefoot shoes. And I am so sore still today because maybe I went faster than I should have, or it was hillier than I'm used to. So it's not like it's preventing injuries or pain. It's just but I think when you do it for kids, you are setting them up for generally good musculoskeletal health going forward. Like, but there's no reason, there's no one putting kids in barefoot shoes when they're two, when they usually go, and then checking them again when they're 30 or 50.
Right.
There's so many other factors in life. It's just another way to think of it is, you know, if you have a child that does gymnastics, you might expect that they're probably going to have really good shoulder health and back health and hip health because their body is exposed to what a human is meant to naturally do, which is move in all different realms.
Yeah.
And so compared to the kid that sits at a computer all day and is crunched over, like then they're maybe not going to be as able and active. But the gymnast is still probably going to get injuries, but maybe is healthier.
Got it. So we're not necessarily preventing an injury. We're more just like giving them the natural environment that their feet should be in.
And your listeners will be thinking about, oh, my kid's got flat feet. Like this is a classic.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
Nearly every child has flat feet until they're about six. It's almost an issue if they've got a really high arch early on because we've got this fatty pad in the middle of our foot and the child we want our foot to get as much contact with the earth as possible because they're an unstable thing. That like the feet are tiny and the body is really big with a massive head on it when they're a child. And so we want the foot to be as stable as possible and get as much feedback as possible. So we've got this big fatty pad there to really support us because the bones aren't even they're just cartilage at the start and they're not really fully developed until they're like a boy when he's 20, a woman when she's 16, you know, that's a fully developed foot. And so
I did not know that.
So really the arch may or may not come up at six. And so people are watching their 6-year-olds like, oh, the arch is not coming up. It doesn't even matter. There is nothing to say that arch is even important. Some of the most functional people on the planet have the flattest feet with the gnarliest looking feet, and they're highly functional people that have, you know, it doesn't matter how your foot looks, it's more about how well it functions.
That's interesting.
And so but we tend to see if kids are going into a stiff shoe that's healed, then maybe having that weaker foot or a foot that's not as functional is going to give them problems as they go forward, you know? And those types of problems could be, you know, like as a podiatrist, we see a whole range of stuff like bunions and heel pain and neuromas. And well, I see a lot of kids with ingrown toenails because their toes are being squished together. Especially teenage boys get ingrown toenails because they get
sweaty. I was just going to say I had those as a teenager.
Sweaty feet and soft skin, and then they go into a more of a traditional school shoe sometimes, so they get squashed around the toes. So like it's really about just being not trying to make your child perfect either. It's just like going, let's accept them for who they are and give them their body every chance to express itself as naturally as possible.
Right. Which is what you do in all situations, not just their feet. So
yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's why I thought.
So then would a flip flop work as protection?
That's really good. A flip flop, the sun's really beautiful here this morning. Yeah. It's spring. And the sun's lovely. Sorry for the listeners. I've just got sun on my face.
No.
Flip-flops, they are, you have to claw a bit to hold them on. So we really love a strap on the back. So there are a multitude of barefoot branded sandals that are just a thin piece of rubber. Like, I run in them over summer. It's just like running on a piece of tire tread, you know, like just something that's flexible, still lets you feel the ground. Still got something between your toes, but a strap on the back. Because as soon as you lift your foot up in the air without a strap on the back, your toes have to claw. And this is not a natural movement. So, yeah. So, okay. Yeah, something on the back is better. Some people might know of Birkenstocks. Do you know about them? Yeah. So they tend to not have a strap on the back. They are flat. They're not flexible. They're quite stiff, but they're nice and wide. They've got arch support. Our foot shouldn't need support. No other part of our body needs support. Our foot should just do it on its own. It probably needs support if you've given it support for a long period of time. Right. It can accustom to it. But the idea of a supportive shoe is not necessary. Like, we shouldn't need support. Our foot.
Can you wean off of that? Like, what if I have a supportive
shoe? Yeah, that's my job. Yeah. I wean people off and conventional footwear. Like, people come and say, I want to do this. I've had foot problems. Like, either they've had foot problems for a long time, they've been orthotics. Like, I saw a lady yesterday who's been orthotics for 40 years. And she had bunions at the start and foot pain. The orthotics probably fixed the foot pain initially, because when you splint a part of your body, it stops hurting. You know, like if you have a sore shoulder and you put it in a sling, your arm in a sling, your shoulder's not moving and it will most likely stop hurting. So her bunions are still there. They haven't been cured. She hasn't changed her shoes, but I just still told her to be in a pointy shoe, like, this is the shoe to wear. And so she just heard from her daughter. She must be in her 60s now. And she'd heard from her daughter about what I do. And she's like, I'm just wanting to try something different. And I don't want to be married to my orthotics all the time. And you know, when I go through what she does, she's already barefoot at home a lot. So, and we've just been through 2 years of lockdown here in Melbourne, especially. And so she was barefoot at home a lot. And so she's already halfway there, you know, in terms of going without her orthotic. She's got three different pairs of orthotics that all function the same. This is the other thing about podiatrists. They often just keep prescribing an orthotic just because our health insurance pays for it or something. But it's the same thing. Like, it doesn't change much. Their foot's not really changed much either. And so she's got some that are a little bit smaller, so we're just going to put her in those, you know, normal shoes for her walking, and then change her work shoe. Like, it's just this process of helping someone wean off. Or some people don't have any pain or even orthotics. And then I'll just, like, there's some shoes that are wide, they're flexible and they're flat, but they still have some cushioning. And so they're not thin. And so that can be a step down. Right. You know, like, there's two brands that do that really well. And so you're ticking a few of the boxes, but not going without the cushioning, because when we use cushioning, we tend to overstride and hit the ground harder. And so when you go to a shoe without cushioning, it hurts a bit because you're so used to striding out and hitting the ground hard.
Right.
And so we want to, so we change technique. We give gait retraining tools, like technique tips, you know, to walk in a way that's more efficient. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's more natural. Yeah.
Well, and that's kind of, what are the two brands, just to throw those
ALTRA, Altra.
Okay.
And the other one is called Topo, T-O-P-O.
Okay. And because that's why I asked the question, because I imagine if you have all the support and then all of a sudden you just cold turkey take it out, you're going to have pain. Yeah.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Imagine what we'd do if you'd worn a neck brace for 8 hours a day since you were three. And then at 40, you go, you know what? I don't need this neck brace anymore. Your head would just about fall off.
Yeah.
Or imagine, and that analogy reaches on. If you really hurt your neck, say you're in a car accident, you really hurt your neck, they might put you in a neck brace. But they would never leave you in that neck brace forever. They would get you out of it and they would get you moving well and getting stronger. And this is the same with our feet. Sure, use an orthotic, use a supportive shoe. Like my wife, we went on a holiday recently and we walked a lot, and she's in fully minimalist shoes and very comfortable day to day. And she's quite walking fit, but we walked a lot on this holiday. And this is now 3 weeks ago and she still has some foot pain. Like she overdid it. Like she's overloaded her foot, basically.
Right.
So we've put cushioning under, like put a shoe in with cushioning, still wide, still flat. And that takes away her day-to-day pain. Her foot's going to recover and then she'll be able to go back. So it's not about saying it has to be one way or the other. It's like just meeting people where they're at and moving them. And
totally.
This is the beauty of children, though. Like my kids are 15 and 13 now, and they changed, I think, when they were 8 and 10, so about 5 years ago. And Before then, I'd had them in orthotics and supportive shoes. I didn't know any better. I'm like, oh, I've done all the wrong thing, done the wrong thing. You haven't. I was just doing what I knew.
Yeah.
And we just had a holiday where I just said, hey, let's be barefoot this holiday. Let's have fun and be barefoot.
Yeah.
And then I just put them in barefoot shoes, cold turkey, no issues, you know, because children are highly adaptable.
Yeah.
But when it's a 70-year-old or a 40-year-old.
Totally.
Different.
Well, that goes to your analogy, like they only had the brace on for 5 years instead of 40.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. And they're probably more living a more movement variable and adaptable. Like they're climbing, they're doing a whole lot of different stuff as opposed to a lot of adults who are just sitting down a lot. My mother turned 70 a few years ago, and we went out to a special dinner, you know. And so my mother was 70, my wife was 40, and my daughter was 12 or something like this, or maybe 13. Anyway, and they'd all been in minimalist shoes for a couple of years, and comfortable. But on this night, they all wore a heeled shoe with a pointy shoe, and my daughter was a bit lower, but she didn't have any pain, and the next day she was fine. My wife had sore feet for a week, and my mum at 70 had sore feet for a month. So it just shows you age is having this effect. They both totally. They all got better, but definitely the sooner you do this, the easier it is on your kids' feet.
Yeah. So,
can I just say something else? Sorry. Yeah. Socially, a big issue. Like they go to school and everyone's wearing their Nikes or their kids. Here we have to wear school uniform. We have school uniforms, and so they go to school and there's all the traditional school shoes, and then my kids in their wide, thin, flat, flexible shoes.
Right.
And my daughter is very strong-willed and understanding. She actually did a persuasive talk to the whole class on why they should be out of those shoes.
Oh, wow.
And her English teacher said, well, I'm not sure if this is relevant to a good topic, like a topic of the day, but that's one of the best speeches I've ever heard. So
the passion was probably.
She had them all had them all taking their shoes off and flexing them and seeing if they could bend, and they're all like jaws dropping, like, are you wearing that, you know?
So oh my gosh, cool.
That was cool. My son is a bit different. Like he's very athletic, and so he gets away with it because kids go, oh, look how fast he is, maybe it's to do with his shoes. But I know, like, that's my hardest sell when I have clients here, to get the kids into a shoe. And so we might, like, in a way it's good they've got uniform, because the uniform ones, they're black leather shoes, look quite similar to the other shoes. And so I'm like, okay, if you're in that shoe 5 days a week for 6 hours, let's just start there. Let's be barefoot at home a lot of the time. And then if you're going out with your friends, just put your Nikes on. If you're playing basketball, just put your Nikes on, because it's a short amount of time that don't matter so much, you know?
Yeah. Interesting. I'm reading a post that you had shared about kids, and it says that it dampens sensory proprioceptive feedback, so the brain has to second guess the correct movement and motor output when you're putting your kids in and that's so fascinating to me, because I had an OT, an occupational therapist, on talking just about movement in general, and she touched on barefoot, and she just they're learning everything, their brain is soaking up everything, they're trying to understand their environment. And I think it's such a relevant thing to say you're blindfolding them. Like, that's to have that many nerves, to have that support, to have those many muscles, and then to be putting them in some sort of like a cast, it's kind of blowing my mind, because it's such the norm that you're like, wait, shoes are like not helpful? What? Yeah. And so it's, but that makes sense to me that they would want to be able to feel, because I even sent you one on Instagram. I was like, what do you think about this? Well, I found this social, and it was like a sock with a rubber sole.
Adipass, they're okay, but there's like, they're a lot better barefoot shoes. Like, they should just have a piece of leather on there, really, you know? And that leather, that Adipass, those rubber ones with a big rubber toe, it's basically protecting their toe from stubbing their toe. Now, I reckon a kid's better off stubbing their toe. They'll quickly learn to lift their feet, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you're not doing any long-term damage to stub your toe. It's a big lesson. Let's walk. You know, they can almost be like a little tractor in that shoe, just plowing through and not feeling anything because it's protecting their foot. And so not that brand, but another brand that makes almost the identical. They must get them from the same factory wherever they're made. they asked me to do a review of the shoe, like, for their website, and they – talk about in their blurb that it's supportive, and I'm like, well, I can't put my name to something saying that it's supportive,
right,
because I don't agree with it. So like, I think we've got, there's something going on here that I can't, and they just went cold turkey. They're just like, oh, whatever. They
didn't, yeah, right,
respond, because, but I just think, you know, it could, yeah, you can go less than that. So that big toe bumper is, yeah, like a bit too much. It's not necessary, you know?
Have you ever seen the stickers that you can stick to the bottom of your feet?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Just on that toe, that big toe thing, they'll tell you that their kid's clumsy. I reckon they're mostly clumsy because they're wearing so much shoe on their feet.
Interesting, you know? Right. Like, we're protecting them from the thing that we're causing.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, the stickers on the feet, I think that's like people are always trying to sell something.
Yeah.
Like, they're the best, so let's just do that. And otherwise, yeah, like, ideally, just have one pair of shoes for day to day, another pair for like a good occasion, another pair. Like, you should, like I said, I went for that run. If it wasn't so wet and muddy here, I could have run that in any of my shoes. Like, my foot is just being a foot, you know, like all of my shoes, all they provide me with is some protection against sharp things. So if I stand on a stick, I'm not going to get stabbed.
Yeah.
Hot and cold. And so if I'm up to running half a marathon, I can do it in any of my shoes. I don't need the special shoe to run half a marathon. It was really muddy, so I used one with a bit more tread so I wouldn't slip.
Yeah.
But this idea that we need all this stuff is just not, you know, it's not a, we don't need
totally. Wait, but I like what you just said, that, I mean, you're a big barefoot person and you're like, no, it was ready that day, so I needed more support so that I wouldn't slip in the mud. Like, you're
with more tread. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. Yes. Not support. That's a bad trigger word here. More tread.
Exactly. Yeah. But some people might need support. Like, they might be up to running 10K without support, but they might need to run half a marathon. They need some support. That's fine. Like, just meet them where they're at.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's great. When you said earlier, your kids' feet will function best starting them like this. What does that function mean? Like, how do I know if my kids' feet are not functioning properly?
Yeah, we won't know if they're not functioning. Pain could be like an end stage, not functioning properly.
Okay.
A lot of tripping over could be to do with like a whole lot of spatial awareness things. But even that can just be improved by exposing them to more situations where they might trip over, but obviously on a gradual level, you know?
Right.
Like, if a child is inside all the time. Well, a great example, I'm looking after a lady that had her 18-month-old had a stroke and didn't move for like 5 days because of this stroke. She'd been walking when it happened. She'd learned to walk, and she's walking holding on to her most precious possessions, you know, as an 18-month-old would do, and tripped over and didn't get her hands out, and so hit her head, which pinched a blood vessel and created a stroke, like a freak accident, basically.
Oh my God.
Now, so this mum like is aligned with the way I'm thinking, but is going to see physical therapists and OTs who are saying, because one side was more affected and the foot was a bit lazy, who's saying, let's put this big cast-like prop on the child's foot with a heel counter and a stiff shoe and a bit of a heel on the shoe. And she's like, this is not ringing true to me. So she reached out to me, we chatted, and we just slowly exposed the child to more barefoot time and barefoot shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And we've just come through winter, and I just saw the kid, and she's regressed a little bit, and the mum's like, well, she's inside all the time. Last year, they live right near the beach. We're just at the beach all the time, and we just saw her improve so much. And now the weather's getting better. We're back outside at the beach, and she's improving again. Like, our body adapts to the environment you put it in. So if we're going to leave that child inside all the time and not expose it to, then maybe it is better to have the support and the cushioning and the bracing, because they're never going to get better at the other thing, at being able to use their body. But if you want someone to be adaptable and functional, you need to expose them to those things that are going to help them adapt.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, tripping is one.
Just uneven terrain, I feel like. Inside, it's all flat.
Yeah, that's right. Uneven terrain, climbing, like tree climbing, less structured activities. So, you know, like, kids will be like, oh, I've got a busy child. They go to like three times out a week. They're doing three sports, three trainings and three games. So it's 6 hours a week. A child should be busy 6 hours a day, physically, 6 hours a day, you know, like,
right,
it shouldn't be 6 hours a week. And like, I'm not perfect with this. My son is like in that 13-year-old age bracket where he just wants to sit in front of his computer and his back's getting sore. I'm like, it's because you're sitting all day, mate.
Yeah.
Oh, buddy, I play soccer twice a week. I'm like, soccer twice a week is not what a 13-year-old boy or right. a child, boy or girl, should be moving, you know? Like, yes. If someone offers him a lift to school, he's like, yeah, I'm taking it. Uh-huh. My daughter, rain, hail, or shine, is doing the 40-minute walk to school just with an umbrella, backpack on.
Yeah.
Because she just likes to move, you know? Yeah. So you can't force a child. And I just think she's so much more physically able than he is.
Yeah.
Even though she's not as talented, like he's got all the gifts, but she's just exposing her body to all these different things far more often, you know?
That's exactly what the OT said. She's like, spinning is really good for finding the equilibrium mm-hmm. in your body, like the yeah. uneven terrain, unstructured activities of like, she's like, throw a curtain and a milk carton outside and let your kid figure out what to do with it yeah, instead yeah. of having them. Yeah. And just she's like having them outside and having the birds in different areas helps them with their spatial awareness and just yeah. all sorts of, oh, it's so cool. I like it when things align from like different people. Oh,
100%. And your audience is probably kids, people that have got kids crawling and then going on to walking. And there's this rush, oh, my child's not walking yet. Like, you know what it's like. My child's not out of a nappy yet. Like yeah. I always say, you know, they're going to be 10 and they're not going to want you to wipe their butt when they're 10. they're going to be walking just fine as well. Like, let it happen at its own rate. Don't yeah. force it. Like, I have people bring their child in. I've got a three-month old coming in tomorrow because parents are freaking out about this. Kid's feet when he's 3 months old, he's not even doing anything on his feet, you know.
Yeah, like right. just,
woo, woo, you know, like or they put their child up on a chair, like as in get them standing, and then wonder why their feet are splayed out like this because they're not ready to stand yet. Let's let them let it happen at its own time. The longer yeah. they crawl, the better. Almost like crawling is this movement where one side, your arm is going one way and your leg is going the other way. Like there's this cross reference, which is so important to development. When they're crawling, the ground is like that far away from their eyes. And yeah. so this is very important for reading and for taking things in because it's at that level, the same level that you'll hold something away from you.
Yeah.
And so to have them crawling for as long as possible is brilliant.
You know? I've also heard it's really good for neck development to get the curve in your neck.
That's right. Yeah. So
interesting. Well, and that's yeah. the podcast I just recorded, she was like, babies are acting on instinct and biology. Yeah. When we start interfering with it and wondering why things aren't going correctly, it's because we're not yeah. doing it correct. We're not letting them just do what they need to do.
Yeah.
yeah. yeah. Oh, that's so wild.
And so just about thinking, okay, what would this child have done if it was living in a village amongst
yeah.
40 people that were looking after it maybe? Like where was it sleeping? What would it be eating? Yes. How would I be feeding it? How would it be moving?
Yep.
And there's something called a ground living movement, a movement of people that just like they chop their they don't have chairs and they chop off the legs of their table. It's like, uh-huh. and you could call it just Japan or
yeah, right. yeah.
But guess what? They don't really have podiatrists in Japan or in Asian countries. They are barefoot habitually at home. They all take their shoes off when they get inside and they mostly ground dwell. They sit on the floor a lot. Mm-hmm. And so we get exposure. Our hips are moving in all different ways.
Yeah.
Our hips don't control our feet. But anyway, there's this movement of ground livers and you see the children are walking earlier because they're they're exposed to more movement at it from a young age. So they end up walking a bit earlier because they just, moving more from a young age, you know.
Yeah.
And so our Western culture has us seated for hours a day, and children, especially children, like even school is a mini office basically, that you just put them into school when they're like five and they yeah. go and sit down for 6 hours a day. And it was a bit of a eye-opener for me. My daughter was excited when she was in grade four because she got to not have to sit on the mat anymore. She got to sit up, you know, when you go to school, they sit on the mat when they're young yeah. and then they got to sit on the tables. And it's like, yeah, we get to sit on the tables. I'm like, I'd rather you sit on the mat.
Yeah. Why don't you sit on the floor?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a brief break to talk about Expecting and Empowered. Expecting and Empowered is a pregnancy and postpartum workout guide, and I recommend this to everybody that's pregnant or postpartum. It's like the one thing that people are like, are you going to do that for your next pregnancy? 1,000%. I was still doing these workouts like a year and a half postpartum, and it only goes to 33 weeks. Anyway, the pregnancy workouts prepare you for labor, and the postpartum workouts repair you from labor. It has stretching, pelvic floor exercises, and the actual work. And what I love about it is it's created by a nurse and a physical therapist, so you know that the workouts that you're doing are safe. And sometimes when you're pregnant, you're just not sure. Now you know. So I'm an affiliate with them. You can use my code HeyShayla. It will get you $10 off the guides. They also just came out with a labor and delivery course. It's brand new, super exciting. If you have any questions about it, please DM me on Instagram, HeyShayla. All right, let's get back to it.
Well, and it's funny because you're right. There are a lot of movements, I guess, that are kind of bringing you back to that. Like I talk about Montessori floor beds. So our kids don't have cribs. They sleep on the floor bed. And I get comments on YouTube all the time. That's like, this is just what we do in our country. Or this is like, why are you guys coming? They're like, you, first of all, we think cribs are very weird. We don't know why you do it. Second of all,
it's like a cage.
Exactly. They're like, you're caging your kid, and they're not in like the family area. They're in their own area. And it's just so interesting when I share things and people are like, cool movement. This is life here. Like, glad you guys are coming back to it.
Yeah.
So with the feet thing though, so if we barefoot is best, and it's interesting that you said, like, just let them realize, because we normally do day morning walks, and I'm sure my neighbors think I'm insane because I let her go barefoot right down the road. Like, I scan it, make sure that there aren't shards of glass that she's going to step on or whatever. And we did an afternoon walk when it was hot. So the sun had been exposed to the asphalt all day. Mom, I want my shoes off. I was like, it's hot. I want my shoes off. You do you, girl. Take off your shoes. Five steps in. Mom, it's hot. Yes, it is hot. I want my shoes back on. Cool. Let's put your shoes back on. And so she got to learn, and she took them off again, five more steps, and then back on. But it was just her kind of figuring it out on her own, which I love. I do feel like she's more physical and just more, she's climbing ladders and she's got like the physical strength because we do a lot of outside stuff. But I think the barefoot thing, that was the other thing out of this, Rina B. Harris, you shared this post.
Rina. Yeah.
Okay.
So she's like me, but in London. We're very well aligned.
Where did it say? You may have noticed how kids love taking their shoes and socks off at every opportunity. They don't do it to annoy us, but because it's inherently natural to them. Their bodies and brains want to feel the ground and move freely.
Yeah.
Like, why does that blow my mind? I don't know. It makes so much sense, but I'm like,
And how many parents do you hear saying, put them back on. People even, like previously, people would come to me as that's the problem. You know, that's why they're coming to me.
Yeah.
Now they wouldn't, because they know they would have no sympathy.
Yeah. Let's go to the barefoot guy and tell him that my kid wants to be barefoot. So then are socks considered barefoot?
They are, but they're like, I wear toe socks that are like over each toe, because then you can actually move your feet. And as soon as you get used to toe socks, then you don't ever want to wear any other socks. Because a lot of socks can be a bit constrictive. And I see people that say, I'm from this European family. We had to put our shoes on as soon as we got up, and I've had shoes on my whole life. And they're the one, like, I see people that have issues because they've had shoes on their whole life. And then they're trying to do this and they're finding it hard.
Hmm.
You know, so we do exercises, we do like mobility work and things like that to help them get through.
Yeah. That's interesting. Cause when you say barefoot at home, I'm like,
Like, I find it dirty to think that you wouldn't take your shoes off.
Right. Or like, I guess house slippers are a thing, but even that, that's interesting though. Cause I do have house slippers, cause it's cold here in Minnesota. We get to like negative a million, and maybe I'll rethink my house slippers of just something.
I'll tell you. So my wife, to my wife's birthday, I sat down, I just bought ordered a pair through Bar Lamb Slippers, BAA Lamb Slippers, and then Bar Lamb Slippers, New Zealand. I think she has her own sheep and makes these beautiful sheepskin barefoot slippers. And they look a bit Indian, like a bit Native American style.
Moccasins, that's what I have.
Yeah, awesome.
Okay, that's great. But the problem with kids, and this I feel like we probably should have opened with this, but their feet grow very fast. It's not like an adult where you get to invest in a shoe and wear it for the next however long until it dies. other than like straight barefoot, because like I said, we've got winter and you're worried about whatever, I don't know, in the summertime, what's an affordable option?
Shoes for a season. They're very well hand-me-downed as well. Like they go well to other people because they don't, your foot's not doing anything to a shoe like this. It's not like changing its structure. And so, you know, my son wears the shoes that my daughter wore, like it's fine. And then we pass them on to our friends. Like they work out quite well. And there's a lot of Facebook groups that are buy, sell, trade, minimalist shoes. Yeah. They pass on well. And there are some brands that are very, are less expensive. So there's a brand called Splay, S-P-L-A-Y. That's less expensive. Paper Crane is another Australian brand. Two mums down here in Melbourne. But they're in the States as well. They are less expensive as well. So there are brands out there that are less expensive.
But you're right with the, like, what am I trying to say? Like the desire to own lots of things. There's a word for it that is very common. That
minimalism.
But the opposite, consumerism. Yeah. Consumerism is such a thing that to be like, oh, my kids are just going to have one shoe. Like, yeah, that's okay. Your kids don't need, or you don't even, I don't have that many shoes. But to invest in one shoe.
I get given a lot of shoes and I'm embarrassed by how many shoes I have. But luckily my dad and one of my best friends has the same shoe size. So I'm just like palming shoes.
Oh, that is nice. Yeah. But then you get to try them all out, which is kind of nice.
Yeah. Right. That's all I'm getting. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But I like, you're right. Like buy one shoe for the season once a year. And that's their shoe.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But then what about in the wintertime? That's kind of just like.
So then you'd have your pair of boots or something, like your little boots, and maybe you'd have a second pair. Yeah, it just depends on.
But I mean, you can't have a minimalist child's boot.
That is a thing. Like there are hiking boots, like even the whole hiking boot thing, it's a stiff shoe.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about, basically, a winter boot. It's a stiff shoe with a heel, a hiking boot. That's why you need ankle support because your foot is designed to traverse over things that don't require you to have ankle support. Like your ankle shouldn't need support. And so I know you come from a very cold place, but there are shoes. And that's why this Anya's Reviews is like the
P. Will you spell that again?
A-N-Y-A-S Reviews.
Okay.
And she sells and also has links to a whole lot of discount codes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
She's like the queen of barefoot shoes.
Yeah. Amazing. If I'm looking at my kids, you said that arches aren't indicative of a healthy or not healthy foot.
No. No.
Okay, but a big fat sole
is so like,
like kind of a muscular foot.
Yeah, but a kid's foot is not, a kid's foot is, should just like, there's, I don't really see that many unhealthy kids' feet. They haven't had a chance to be withered and, you know, so it is what they are, what they are. Like people bring me their children because their feet are rolling in, tipping in. But you know, when the child is born, their hips are externally rotated, and then we internally rotate until maybe 12 or 13, and then with puberty they start externally rotating again. And so when the hips are internally rotating, then we start seeing the feet follow and they start rolling in. And so this is when we see the heels tipping in, and this is like a freak out moment. Oh, your kid's got flat feet, you go to the shoe shop, oh, they need support. This cultural idea that we need to be straight. There's no relevance to it. It's just just let them be. Expose those hips to as much external rotation as possible. Have the child climbing trees, doing gymnastics, doing ballet, doing a martial art, these variable movements for their hips.
Yeah.
And the hips will change their feet if they need changing. You know, like you'll never have me say a foot should look like this because it's just so, like, it's like saying your eyes should be blue. You know, like, okay, everyone's eyes should be blue. If they're not, let's go to the doctor and change it. You know, like, our body's meant to be different and adaptable and asymmetrical. Like one foot should be doing something different to the other. And guess who's best at dealing with that? That body. It's been dealing with it since the day dot, you know, like it knows how to deal with it.
Totally. So,
like my ideal is to put myself out of a job. Everyone have healthy feet because they never go into shitty shoes.
Right.
Like I don't like them that much.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Amazing. Thank you.
That's a different perspective, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it totally is. And I feel like a lot of times with marketing and stuff, they tell you your problem and how they can fix it instead of
a fix that, it's also not a permanent fix. It's a fix that you'll need to keep getting. You
know? Yeah.
Yeah,
totally. Amazing. Thank you so much for chatting with me. This was
pleasure.
It's like, I need to get some new shoes, I'm pretty sure.
Dude, after this conversation, I can see you're going to go and buy some
shoes. And I think it will be even hard for me to wear, like, the wide toe shoes. But I think it's one of those things that once you do it and you feel the difference, you're like, I don't care. What?
And there's 140 minimalist shoe brands. And so it's a big, wide world out there. And so this is why Anya's reviews is, you'll be able to go to a website and she'll be like, okay, which type of foot do you have? And you line, okay, I've got, like, there's the mountain one, the Indian one, there's all these different foot types.
Yeah.
And you'll go, okay, that's my foot type. And she'll go, okay, these brands are the ones that are best for your foot type. And this is how you get them. So it's a wonderful resource.
Oh my gosh. Fantastic. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for all of this. This was exactly what I was looking for and so helpful. And even in the email, I was like, I don't even really know what I don't know. So let's just see where we go. And we got all the information. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks for having me.
Yes. Oh, and I always like to end and start with, if they want more information, they can go to...
It's andybryant_podiatrist. And that's the best place to find information and contact me. My website is poorly maintained.
Okay. Perfect. Good to know. Thank you.
All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you enjoyed it, please share with somebody you think would love. And I would be so honored if you would subscribe to the podcast and leave a comment and rating below so I can know what you guys are digging, what you want more of, just connect with you a little better. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next time.